Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for coming out to our second ARC Press reading event. Yay! I'm so happy to see everybody here. Tonight is a really special night for both Nathan and I because two of our oldest and dearest friends, Brenda Siskowski and Aaron Green.
Just like
I'm bad at pronouncing Polish. are here. Flew into town last night and of course got delayed at the Atlanta airport like every other schmuck that tries to travel to East Jesus Nowhere, North Carolina. Who has to go through the Charlotte airport. Not East Jesus Nowhere, Todd is a wonderful person. And they're really important to us because there was a time in Nathan's life where he maybe would not have been able to get through it without Brenda and Aaron's help, and we might not be here together in the state that we're in without Brenda and Aaron. And
which is true in the reverse as well.
But you know, Brenda helped Nathan get to his brother, and it's just they're really two of the kindest and most loyal friends that either Nathan and I can think of, and we're so happy to have them here in person and in our lives all the time, and happy to be able to share them with you guys here. All right, so enough of that. Brenda Siskowski's chapbook, Wonder Girl in Monsterland, is forthcoming from Dancing Girl Press.
With
mine.
We're both going to have chapters from the same press.
Okay. Air high five.
And
it will be fun. She's currently working with Salt Lake's chronically homeless and at-risk youth population while she completes her PhD in creative writing and literature at the University of Utah. She is also the artist in residence at the Salt Lake Community Writing Center. Her poetry, creative nonfiction, and other hybrid genre works have appeared in a wide variety of journals. Please welcome Brenda Siskowski.
I would hate to read Aaron's poems by mistake.
You're welcome to.
I don't think that I would do them as much justice, but thank you so much. Thank you so much for that warm, best introduction maybe I've ever had in my life. And I'm very happy to be here, as I know Aaron is, to be a friend and be in this wonderful place and read. So I guess that's what I'll start doing. And I'm going to start with something called Endnotes. So that's a little bit inappropriate, but it deals with bees, so maybe we'll have an appreciative audience. One of the things that I constantly am mulling over and kind of trying to figure out how to recuperate or how to make more positive is dealing with different kinds of loss. And so I became very obsessed with colony collapse disorder and the disappearance of all these bees, and in some ways it became metaphoric for me for things that were disappearing from my life or things that were disappearing from, you know, the culture, all these different things. That may not be apparent in the poems, but that's a little bit of background on why I chose to kind of focus so heavily on bees, is that I felt like colony collapse disorder kind of mirrored a lot of things I was feeling. And so I have bees and then birds poems in the reverse of the typical birds and bees. End notes. One, bees. Worcestershire Needle Museum closes to de-swarm chimneys. Workers stung. New plans call for scaffolding and mesh. Dear museum, let the bees keep their needles. Also, the wax factories and necropolis, the sugar cube igloos. Sincerely. Lack magic, pre-wrath rapture, ladies and gentlemen, witness disappearing. In cliffside asylums and sanatoria, consumptive lungs clot with soft white cheese. Colony collapse. Dear invalids, expose yourselves. Sincerely. Down labyrinthine wings, ventilators suck and hum. Call for the button accordions. Dear social director, strike up the band. Save one last dance. Swan. Under the ultraviolet chandelier, white feather gowns flutter and glow otherworldly, antiseptic, the last wild spores germinating. Dear end. Two, birds. Lyrebird calls out, chainsaw, flock whistle, gang gang cockatoo. Pianissimo, Signor LB, pianissimo, and I'll believe you're the brush-tipped tongue of a honey-eater. Song for two voice boxes, dream in which I sew the pitch, carry on a musique of Kay's shinier voice in my throat. Song of gutted fish and glacier lily, comb brushed over metal teeth, barbs snagging on a dusty spool of afternoon, scratched with vintage French records. Un camion rouge, le ballon vert. That's what it sounded like. In which I buy a parrot, perroquet vert, perroquet rouge, and teach him all the lonely words I don't want overheard. Here, birdie, birdie, let go loose and high, speck of green balloon with lonely, wild messages inside. Three, bees. Quinby burnishes humble bee smoker. Ladies and G-men, the mesmerizing flea circus autopsy of bees. B12, B624. Smoked almonds, corporate sponsorship. Slide out the old frozen drone samples. Dear vanishing sympathizers, show your stripes. Pin on your honeybee buttons, sincerely. Protest ephemera, one lick honeysickles, a single axon omatidium, 10 billion disappearances. At the roadside diner, messages in spilled sugar. Examiner's bug glass observation hives. Hum and stumble, static cling. Dear apiary inspectors of America. Dear gumshoes, scrape under your soles, rattle your skeleton keys. What's the proboscis? All gaucho pesticides banned. Time to call off the fruitless search. Inflate the late-stage revival tents. Four, birds. Long-lost brass keys wobble off into interstitium. Accusation, bird brain. Retort, F you. My cerebellum, sagittal section, lights up. Electric tree and flower. Why did the 60s housewife dress her parrot as Liberace? Ask her. Papachi, my Carolina parakeet, died 1904. I used to know how to pronounce this, but now I can't. Okeechobee, Florida. No more woolly cocklebur, honeybees purloined your nest. Oh, panic attack equals strike in the blood pipes, beating air. The trouble with the trouble. Five, bees. Propolis, blue bee glue by mouth to ward off consumption. 2 gallons dead bees and hive. Hexagon amulet for dubious beekeepers. Dear Yupik, a life vest and parachute for every lemming. A warmer Arctic for all, sincerely. Portrait of worker bee as Harry Houdini. Portrait of Houdini's mother in Queensy vintage French dress. Mesh queen excluders rust under honey supers. Each bee beard curtains its small caged queen. Bow and curtsy, stages of American fowl brood. Sweet St. Ambrose, beekeepers. St. Gall of the birdie birds. Wax melter, your own St. Bernard of Clairvaux. The convicts are smoking hives in airplane hangars. Dear marmalade swarm. Dear long and lank uncombed, dear BB brush off, I'll soon forget to write. Six, birds. Press, clay, southworth. Late last night, this gut stuff dream, black shoe buttons for eyes. Where is my petite parakeet Eskimo? MIA Omaha, Nebraska, 1985, presumed dead. Kenning, EG sword goes to wound hole. Odin equals raven god. Far flown thought. Blown back memory. Forlorn, forsaken, forgiven at last. To do. A make amends. and B, bring back passenger pigeon, and C, hunt under cushions to gather change. That's the end of that particular bees and birds sequence. Okay. It's called, and I apologize if you start to notice an overwhelming theme of death and gloom and doom, but it's trying to be recuperated. That's the thrust of this. So this one's called Exhume. Pale children in nightscape, heads cocked, burying toys. This is the way we hide our toys. Smudge of dirty moon when you bend to kiss me so early in the morning. On the neighbor's porch, blue flames waver over the giant refinery. The hollow-eyed children titter and clap dirt from their kid gloves. Given time, what's dug up seems re-magical. Fingers with tiny moons cleaned out. This is the way we save our toys. This is the way. While you're deciding to leave me, I'll draw a volume from the shelf, cradle its dusty spine. At the bottom of one page, another's hand has underlined, alone and warming its five wits, white owl in the belfry sits. Another obsession of mine is science. I'm not necessarily a genius about it, but I like to read about the brain. I like to read about natural history. I like to read about anything that's odd. So this next, I'm going to read parts of a section of a project that's called the Museum of Withdrawn Experiments. And so it's my imagining science through a completely unscientific lens and just playing around with ideas. And the first section is called Abstracts. After kind of the first section of a scientific paper, you might see an abstract. But I just randomly cut off all the sentences at a certain point in the line. So if I stop talking at an awkward moment, it's because the page just cut me off and I let it. So that's what's going to happen. Abstracts. Despite the squander of interstellar dust redshifted from shells of until now, expansion of the unknown universe has remained uncertain. Hot clouds of relative analgesia, N2O and O2, have for several centuries cultured cells stained with live dead assay react covalently to the gravitational lens swimming up from the background galaxy. However, concentration of non-baryonic dark matter carrying no diluting the 17 burnt-out minutes of Big Bang with back war. Studies suggest minimally that symmetric coupling of brown dwarf. Using compactification techniques, we predicted future null spells O. The index terms asymmetrical, green, relic radiation, lepton, opaque. So that's the first section. The second part of this peculiar thing is called valence. Undersky is the first paranoid shell, unswerving. What passes minimally for an excited state. Paranoid, I'm extracting the bright, overlapping scales of sadness. This afternoon, coughing its dusty blue light on the wall, like the beam of an old film projector, is manganese. On the bright, hilly side of town, women in lantern-hued shoes gather with their parcels of luxury scraps. They stitch deft valentines from craft paper, repurposed lace, braille pages indecipherable to their blind white fingertips. I'm not one of them. Alone, I cut deftly into a creased square of organ pink tissue paper. What unfolds is not a heart, but a set of lungs, asymmetrical. Engrossed, humming, I slip them into a wool envelope stitched with my ex-lover's name. Tomorrow he'll hang them from the rear view like a pair of fuzzy invisible dice, humming, swerving into the right-wrong turn. Four is dark matter, a research proposal. First section, missing mass problem. How swarms of dead stars gnaw and gnaw at us, burnt out, must not occupy so much disputed space. Redshift. This study hypothesizes further undetectable matters. Must not smile open mouth because too much dark matter between teeth. Gaps. Solution. Extract dead weight from irregular galaxies. Invisalign. Literature review. I'm going to skip that part because it's a bunch of weird titles of strange books. Materials and methods. Black hole, 3.8 suns, chameleon particle, 6 known flavors of lepton, slab of victory brown wax, 3 ounces standard green pitch, small packet kosher salt, barnacle glue, dark lantern, hydrogen, time resolve spectroscope, sterile neutrinos, large hadron collider, halos, brown dwarf, relic radiation, mass compactors. First, cancel all balloon-borne experiments. With number 11 X-Acto knife, cut out train wreck cluster, Able 520. Paste to back wall of diorama. On a cast iron plate, grind gravitational lens until noise of abrasive grains rolling between surfaces becomes faint. Polish with standard green pitch and set aside. Sand floor of diorama with high silicate interplanetary dust particles, IDPs. Next, sculpt and detail 3-inch figurine of St. Vera Rubin from Victory Brown Sculpture Wax. Face transfer decal, organdy, or other transparent cotton. Use your own hair. Infix grains of kosher salt for teeth. In left rear corner, a fixed colony of small-scale night sky globes, 0.75-inch circumference. Glue figurine in center. On top roof of diorama, might mount 0.5-centimeter lens panel. Insert previously prepared lens. See above. Forecast. Overnight lows with intermittent spells of self-deprecation and uncertainty. Dark and transparent. And then this is the last section I'm going to read from this particular project. This one's called Frequency. Shell game, thimble rig, keep shuffling this morning's batch of tea kettles on the stovetop's 3 working burners. Red coil, red coil, red coil. No combination can replicate faithfully the heartsick train whistle ripping night into linen strips. Whistle the screech of a night bird flying into an echo of its own extinction. Bandage. Strung on the backyard clothesline, the other not right kettles clank like couplings between boxcars. A burnt out string of party lights. Snub little snouts. Pause here and scoop a modest hollow from the poem with your green cankered spoon. A brown furry space to paw through local categories of alive. A lantern is only a lotus blossom when lit. A cricket song is just a violin with frilly teeth, 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 teeth. You'll discover 2 squirmy new word animals, fridinency and stridulate. And the empty kettles swaying metallic and opaque on their slack rope, bulky and breathless. A gaudy necklace of celestial carapaces blazes from the black queen's throat. Every morning she vanishes into dawn's green crease, just a slight hollow, not nearly deep enough to bury an afternoon's squandered coins, the bright chips of vowel on a newly dealt word, the wavelength of a single sleight of hand. Okay. Not going to read them all. I think I'm going to take those out. I'm going to read one that's slightly more, I suppose, less scientific and more relationship narrative minded. I suppose everything's a relationship. The universe is full of relationships. This relationship is called Still. You're turning fall, summer again. Underneath the layers, my underwear, clashing tones. We repaint my bedroom stoneware blue. Rolled pants, paint smeared on the balls of our feet. A trail of small blue cocktail masks on the hardwood floors. Winter arrives after spring, the world burying itself after so much grassy abundance. The flower beds push up sticks, crowned with bright packets of seeds, columbine, marigold. In a dark room, I press cold fingers against my eyelids. Your face sparks up from the quick wick of nerves. Okay, so this is the last single poem, and then I have one more series that, appropriately enough, will then be about ghosts. So we can end on a spooky note, and those still light up. But before we get there, one more vaguely scientific poem, which isn't really scientific at all, but it's called Vector Technicolor. And it's got a line from Charles Olson, just pulled out of obscurity. Vector Technicolor. In that color you set. Night, storm, a rodent, greasy furred, and burying its sly teeth in the green chinks. I feel like the microphone just taken.
Seriously.
Okay. Like, yeah, that's why. It's the cord.
That's shitty.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I feel like you could probably already hear it. I don't know if you really need
it. Do you want me to turn it down?
I'll just...
Works.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah. I don't feel like I really.
We can hear you. I thought it
was wrong. Okay. Yeah, I was like, wow. This, okay. So, back. Interlude two. Vector Technicolor. In that color you set. Night, storm, a rodent, greasy furred and bearing its sly teeth in the green chinks. Sheet lightning. Crackling on the highway. Ferromagnetic. And plucking an abandoned flock of bicycles down unoccupied streets. Cut the earthworm in half and it grows back south pole. Field severed from a bar magnet. Raw glints, pinwheel, spokes. Emerald cocktails on the sun porch. Wind up skirt that whirs green back, blue and yellow. Light strung from a tin scrap of blind lemon Jefferson. Rasping through the dusty screen. Mordant imbibition. Picking rabbit foot and meatless. Okay, so we're in the home stretch, right? On a poem that is titled something quasi-scientific but really has nothing to do with science, but I called it Quantum Phantomology. It's talking about ghosts, and that just makes it sound much more impressive than it actually is. So,
is this what's coming out inside,
bro? Yeah, so, officially I go to the mic. Okay.
This
is going to come out on a webpage where Kirsten has some poems already, so we're also...
Oh, cool.
You should go to this website called Sidebrow, and you can see some of Kirsten's poems, and this will at some point come out. I don't know when they'll... But they have taken it, so... And also, I'll just hold this up. I normally don't do this, but I wanted to... And this is nothing that innovative. Lots of people like to do this, but I wanted it to be a little... space that came out of the middle of a poem. I kind of imagined it like it was a hole that opened in the middle of the page or a door, and I hope that actually a coffin is a door and not just a box that traps us. So that's why it looks the way it does, although you can't see it unless I show you. So Quantum Phantomology. If I say I want a dead friend, I mean a dead friend I didn't know when he was alive. Someone I've never smelled, never heard floating that bashful, swim-bladdery cough over my shoulder when I thumb through a greasy romance novel. A little dead friend who rides around in the pocket of my blue cardigan, sculpting A cases, A sticks, from lint and spit and the soft scraps of laundered receipts to be pasted on pale-bellied leaves. When I want to burn my secret diary, cross-hatched with X's name, my dead friend says no, drags me to the baptism river. We float the pages and race along the bank until, swollen with enough water, they sink, and at that spot we bury a snail shell in the muddy bank. My dead friend sucks in river air and draws all the lost vowels, foamy bubbles, up from the yellow water, but all that... Once gradual, and the consonants sink down and down in the brown silk. Sorry. I was like, that's hard, because there was no vowel.
No, no,
anyway, okay, I was like, what? There's sadly more. After I share my sob saga, if Stick Girl says, at least you can write a poem about it. My dead friend sinks his fingerlings up to second knuckle and one of her visceral sweet sponges, and she'll mistake the lingering cold volt for regret. can speak the invisible languages. Forecast each juice swarm that flits overhead, hums underfoot. Sometimes a leaf will palpitate with a white static water noise in the cottonwood. Here, then over here. Thank you for being such a great audience.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next reader. Our next reader is Erin Green. Erin Green and I used to have the same kind of glasses and the exact same color hair, and everybody used to think that we were twins when we were in graduate school.
True story.
Yeah. So Erin Green's poetry has appeared in Eclipse, The Tiny, Bat City Review, Hangman, Word for Word, Rhino, Iron Horse Review, Phoebe, Painted Bride Quarterly, and Denver Quarterly. He holds an MFA from the University of Utah, and he's currently pursuing his PhD in poetry at the University of Denver. Let's all give Erin Green a warm welcome.
don't rely too much on that. I recommend just not using the microphone.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of picking you up a little bit.
What
was it?
Can you, is that?
Just don't touch it.
I'm going to stay very far away from it, is what I'm going to do. I'm grateful and also despairing of things. I'll say what they are. I'm grateful to Kirsten and to Nathan, not really just for inviting us out here, which was a singular honor and something that I feel tremendously fortunate to have been able to be a part of. I'm also grateful just to have you guys as friends and to be, the real truth is that, you know, without, everything that Kirsten said does go backwards in reverse, that without these two, I know that I don't make it, and I suspect that Brenda doesn't either. And I think that it's, I also want to say that to me, in my very, very sort of poorly thought through but humble opinion, this is a perfect reading, and I think that I would rather read in front of 6 people who are full of heart than 100 people who aren't. So I write my poems for my friends anyway, frankly. That's really kind of what it is. Well, I'm despairing, however, to have to read after Brenda. It's a terrible, terrible thing to have to do. Okay. I should also say, I do find myself always after Brenda, though. She's a mentor and dear friend. These are.
I think you should explain that. Yeah, no innuendo involved in that.
Oh, I said. Brenda was one of the first people who really, I think, believed in my poems and sort of championed my work and was instrumental, I guess, in my believing in what I was doing.
I began
my MFA in fiction. It was terrible. Brenda and Nathan both actually were anyway, so I'm grateful for you guys leaving me. These are all love poems, I think. If that happened properly. This poem is called Door the Heart. Door the Heart. Big guns again, no speaky indeed. Moon moth and grasshopper still escape our page, while distraction, with its big black dog, the horizon begs. Because we are upstarts, we are heaven. Because we pass with wings in the hand, moonstruck in glass red, I dreamt, all men dropped something, a little like their heart, every day, oh, they're passing the same. This poem is called First Walk. Far edge of October and still no frost, converging wind patterns reflecting across pond-reflected lilies, small clearing, unsteadying of goldenrod, yellow light elbowing across tall bushes, far off voice. Afternoon opening into vacant lot, just a few thin sticks surrounded by gold-tipped weeds, and a small silver rainbird streams across the scene, teeming. Bright copper seed husks organizing the field as bright swaths of prairie flax, catalyzed into shaking, dispersed by some quick shift of thistle, outside fissure of rocks made visible. Here then, ribbons pass. Gate-eyed in the clearing, I stand up and the whole thing's invited, already summoning, stuck beneath the greening, born again and again and all the time emptying. Even in the gardens, the ripped sky of jets passing, even in the way the spruces bulk, as if they could touch them, voice saying, not mine, even in water. Pulled by the edges of a rock in the river, pulled from, back into vortices at work below the surface, oil-stained pocket of gravity only perceivable by, convoy of its own swirling. Enormous brown leaves, going over the falls, can't just walk away from, helpless pink flowers and attendant bees, can't stop, sudden electric trees, big tooth maple, discharging. This poem is called Thanksgiving. It is for Mary. Thanksgiving. I was happy. Paradise was a physical thing. Rus, Typhina dissecta, cutting. Rus, Typhina staghorn, sumac. If I were dressed like the sun, red edge, gold edge, Rus, Typhina, and ground brown and holy edge, unscorched by tiller. Overwhelmed by the sight of, at dinner, big tooth maple and cello, big tooth maple and western prairie smoke, hello. The girl in the world that does this to me, abandoned weediness, moved back into prairie, errant weediness, wind in my mouth, everything starts to wild up. The girl in the world, mud, salt, crystals, rocks, water, helpless going over the falls, overcome by the feeling if two people are kissing, they are doing it right. Four chords and blankets, four chords and night, holiness or numbness, four chords, holiness or blankness. This poem is called Here to Spread Light On, and it is it has an epigraph at the top, which is my new favorite quote of all time. Ted Bergen was a crazy and wonderful poet, and the quote is from him. The quote is, joy is what I like, that and love.
That's a pretty good one.
I don't have any more poems to read, actually. I'm kind of done. Here to spread light on. The lights turn the ceiling on into gold leaf. All of them makes me a messenger. Each of these trees is amazing. I see branches arc lightning, Lionel Messi on TV, and am convinced he will always be perfect. That bravery is a girl at the bar that could not look brighter. I ignore only as much as I can handle. No such thing as more perfect. We don't fall in love just to cling. We open all the windows. I had wanted to show you before a new lane of music and walking off into the kitchen after. The sun is fast laughter. Long enough to watch the windows change into lingering street bells, meant never to die. Map only an archive, Arcady, the future, etc. Brighter than our mistakes. Like Prospero said, no harm done, no drowning mark upon my soul. Bicycles, just heavens I hadn't seen. A whole new planet orbiting, literally, under orchids, fragrant in the moonlight. That noise, small white petals in the street, one star, or char. This poem is called Dear Beings, I Can Feel Your Hands, which sounds creepy now that I say it out loud. Not creepy poem. Dear Beings, I Can Feel Your Hands. Small voice is my father saying, little piece of dirt facing small boat harbor. On Tuesday, meteor, and on Thursday, riptides, spouting horn. What am I? To be the mast of such great admiral, sit down. Dear beings, I am afraid I have lost my ruthlessness and cunning. Along with a bay horse and turtle dove, there are flowers stuck to the ceiling. Seriously, what have I near water? My family moves around me. I have decided nothing scares me. I look out across the water and a spindly black spider turns out to be a tide crab, little sister saying, that's a moth's wing, up close. Set waves, tide, more like a feeling. Small voice of my mother saying, look, how many people died while we were away. thin series of blurs, like I was never there at all. Like the other day I heard a woman talking to her friend at the bar, I feel like I'm not good enough. I'll never make money again, never fall in love. Feel like I'm not worth anything. I don't like rock music. Don't know where to go when the doors close. I can't just go out and buy a wheat-colored soul. Write a sadder poem, startled by windows curved up in the shape of fins. Up and behind my table, or up and behind my head, the shadows on the table spin. For us, we are in love. If I could spend my life beneath palm fronds, into which walk little birds and saunterers, clouds wrapped around ice plants, if I could only find one of the letters to God in the street, I'm still new to town. The kids on the lawn go around, the light. I don't get it. The first word I hear is window box, charming of treetops, and songs on the radio on my birthday calm me down. Disarmed, but hopeful, thank you. I look up and cathedral, spotlight, not having to, imagine beautiful rooftops. I find myself in that. Feeling of girls laughing downstairs, lucky enough just to scan the flights of birds, stand under bleachers in the snow blurting out kisses, like a man the cards kept urging forward, the world so rare it shimmers. In the photos I develop, I tell the clerk, go somewhere and make yourself happy. All of the lights in the ceiling say flood, make me happy, feeling of. I say, feeling left of, wind blown. I want to live in a world where rooftop tennis courts, covered in confectioner's snow, stadium lights on all the south-facing windows, world where gates ajar, rend my prayer, where Ren. This poem is called Sounds. It is a second walk. There's the first walk. There's only two walks. I don't know what. Two walks.
One walk.
One walk. There's only one walk, actually. Sounds. Second walk. Slow example falling from cedars. Snow caught in a streetlight like it was breathing. Sudden chill in the line in sounds this morning. To be the mast of such great admiral. And moved out into the street, I watched the clumsy grace of bicyclists in January, unblushing the sky, shamed of nothing, suddenly my life makes sense. I get along until the cloud just collapses. Standing on the freeway, cars move by like drunk panthers. I am loved again. Like there was future again. In street clothes, take small notes, unfolding chorus, I can't just go out and buy a wheat-colored soul. An overgrown path in the weeds behind the school, rough elm edges, affection, rattled like a furnace behind French doors. Red, orange red, yellow red, green. I had wanted to be a courtyard full of streetlights, no cars, just the sidewalk when it rains, makeshift forests where there weren't any yesterday. There, then not, glimpses you get when the wall shifts to windows enough for lights, Christmas, to stream by. I want to be the picture of myself going out. The sidewalk when it rains. These sayings calm me down. Rooftop tennis courts. Also, ice crystals. Halo. Reddish inner edge. Sunstormy aurora. Aurora at speeds. That is the last of those kinds of poems. By which I mean poems that I wrote and look kind of like this. There are going to be people who hear this MP3 later who have no idea what I'm talking about. And they'll be in the same company as you guys. This poem is called Door Out, Out. Feeling on the mend, moving towards Shangri-La, I guess. I'll keep you posted. Dear cold, out, out. I wake to the sound of cars in my chest, out. My throat, out. My nose out so that nothing that is not green can go out. Green out and green in. The trees outside, my friend Catherine has said so many beautiful things. I hardly know where to begin. Some about her nose, some about heaven. The Milky Way paints a giant S in the sky. Barnacles, in which poem Brenda is featured prominently, and Catherine and Jeff, Catherine from that previous poem, Nathan and I were talking about this title, which I didn't remember came from a poem by Jack Spicer, which if you guys are in town tomorrow, you can come back here to the Todd Mercantile and Bakery and hear a talk about. But Jack Spicer said that words are like barnacles that you find, you know, stuck to the bottom of things. They're not the real, they're stuck to the reel. They're the things, he says, we use to push the reel or pull the reel into our poems. So this poem is called Barnacles. One, what we hold on with, nothing else, sirens corresponding to trees, attached to laughter through small windows, small animals that carry in the scene, a dozen angels, each clutching something smaller and bigger than the god they call home, the way small shells are known, stuck to boats at the bottom, moved so every time I see you in pictures, behind your face is something magic, like an ocean, the ocean, the ocean's horizon, magic. Two. Catherine says the boy arrives in the middle, after the gravity but before its beginning, smoking after the poem but before its rescinding. Jeff is in the middle and I want to join him. The question is, do you find for a thing its history or leave it to trees? The history is all the same. I had meant to leave a different person behind, forgot it was me. Three. Brenda adopted a whale in my name, Eden, today. There was a fox tried to run away with my soccer ball, but lay down instead. She did do that too. She adopted a whale in my name.
In which you thought someone stole your credit card.
I thought I was getting super.
Adopted yourself a whale.
I either thought that my identity had been stolen. Somebody had like bought a whale or something for me. Or I thought I was being stalked by like a really creepy eco-conservative or something. Those are my two thoughts. Clearly my thoughts don't go very far.
Both were incorrect.
This poem is called Portland. How I've forgotten every dream I learned, how I stopped thinking so goddamn much. Imagination has never made anything but war and movies, and really you just want to look at dresses.
Amen.
Amen. Botanica. And this is for Nathan. Botanica. The evening, flashbulb of a crowd as they pass by my window, bicycle noise crosshatching the night sky, the space between two enormous orange trees bursting if you just give me one glimpse of small houses, each of which in accordance, each already chorus. Morning kick morning, swallow morning, just like Nathan said. Morning twist morning into a basket, a branch set, a quiet green car. Morning punch me in the stomach says, look again. Morning moved me toward a clearing for the first time this autumn, this evening, in a picnic basket, unloading itself with both hands, a horizon and the small hand of a child reaching forward. I am the idiot picking fruit, and the sound of a train whistle moves through the living room. Walking downtown today, I saw the most perfect rooftops, the need to go outside now with a brown oilcloth jacket and register the time signature of my street after the rain. Morning walk morning downtown today. Morning walk morning home through the park. I had wanted to be a shard of broken light on the windowsill, brass bands behind every tree branch I love, sheer torn strips of yellow light before first autumn wilderness and a small group of houses near the gate, each of which its own accordance, each breaking forward. This poem is called Blackout. True story. I live in Denver. Massive blackout. There was a power transformer near my house that exploded, like graphically exploded. It was huge flames in the sky for a long time. And this is a true story. This is a true story. You should say that before poems, I feel like.
Okay. This is for real.
This is for real poems.
This is not a
poem. Who was it? Who was the poet that somebody asked, is that a real poem or did you make that up? it was like Robert Creeley or something. Somebody asked him.
Poem or did you make it?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Blackout. Night over asphalt, passages in the snow. Night over asphalt, just wanted to be a host. Just a place for brightness to pass over. A million different animals all crashing into a kitchen and breaking nothing. Keep thinking, God moves to the end of our prepositions, like an open shirt. Suddenly it's all leaky doors and thunderstorms, like forgetting something. It's all green and then a blackout, everyone in the streets. The wind that hit those grasses was an animal. I mean, you can see it, but only in patches, only by the yellow light, its teeth flashes off. I was driving downtown when what I thought was chandeliers was sky, actually. And that is the end of this whole thing. For now. We were doing some printing earlier, and I did it improperly. Yeah, true story. It was Sky, actually. This poem is called Courrier du Bois in Canada, and I'm saying that wrong, kind of on purpose, also because I don't speak French. But in Canada, the Mounties, or whatever, I don't know what they're called. Is it the Forest Service?
The fur traders, the old fur traders.
There were a cast of individuals. I actually thought they were state-sponsored. But they essentially wandered through the trees. And they were called the Courrier du Bois, which means he who walks through the trees, maybe.
Wandering through the woods.
Yeah, that. All the snow on the mountain sometimes. Along comes a light up the floor, a long stretch of desert, followed by some ocean, a window I didn't realize was there to me, opening. All that time spent marking and not marking things, lostingly. Choose your future from a different future, O Sheen, from your own. There's only, I think, like three more. This poem is called Abode for Brushy Bill. I don't know, Billy the Kid may have died when people think he died. He may have not died when people think he died. And there is a school of thought that is well convinced that this old, old, old gentleman who died just a couple of years ago, whose name was Brushy Bill, was Billy the Kid. And one of the reasons for that is that the scars on his body corresponded precisely with the scars that were recorded for being on Billy the Kid's body. Abode for Brushy Bill. I see all 16 points of correspondence. I see 1,000 stars inside and through the clouds. I don't want my cloud to understand anything. I want a cloud that disappears into other clouds, that disappears me. Abode for Jack. After you died, all there was scars. Keys to the river, to a refuge of arches and stars. All of us startled by the goose in the window. Buried with the story of your death is a mud hole in time. A moment rich to teething with uncertainty and none of the shackles of history. What good is it to be an outlaw if everybody knows you exist? Abode in which that which you love most dearly is your inheritance.
Ezra
Pound. All my friends on a white patio, in an alley, in the summer, trees thrown forever. Whenever you see a garden, the first wall is not a wall at all. It is bullshit. Go past it. A great migration of leaves among the spirit. There is love, there is. Abode. When suddenly outbursts of hybrids on trees leaves you looking new now, obviously put together elsewhere, like a choir, shifting under yellow power, stupid, except for music. Thank you. Best reading series ever. Thank you, guys.
Because there's a tape recorder involved.
We're just going to record all of my
notes. Thank you, everybody, for coming out to our reading tonight. I'd like to remind you that tomorrow night, Brenda and Aaron will be giving talks, one about the spectacle of the everyday, Brenda will be doing, and Aaron will be doing one about Jack Spicer and the poet as a radio, and we'll also be doing some fun writing exercises and eating more snacks. So if you're interested in snacks and poems and friendship and drink, you are our kind of person and we'd like to hang out with you. So
what time?
Oh, it's at 7. This is like me leaving a message on somebody's phone. I am bad at it. So it's at 7 p.m. tonight or tomorrow and we'll be downstairs snacking and writing and talking about poems. Yeah.
Thank you, Art Press.
Oh, thank you.
Do I just press stop?
Just press stop.
That's gonna be awesome.